With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, an armed standoff that disrupted life for residents of a Springfield apartment complex has ended peacefully. It began shortly before noon Tuesday when police attempted to serve a warrant on a man at the Westbrook Apartments on Seven Pines Road. Authorities say the man fired shots at police and then ducked into an apartment in the complex. Other residents nearby had to evacuate while police negotiated with the suspect. About 6 hours after those negotiations started, he was taken into custody peacefully. Charges are pending. Fires damaged a popular Northside indoor sports facility. Gold's on Peoria Road, formerly Skateland North, was damaged Tuesday afternoon by fire and smoke. The cause of the blaze was under investigation, and Gold's had planned to close during the state fair anyways, so it's not known if the fire will cause the facility to be closed longer. Just days after President Donald Trump visited the Metro East, his daughter is also coming into the region. Again, White House advisor Ivanka Trump will join Congressman Rodney Davis for a roundtable discussion on workforce development today at Lewis and Clark Community College in Godfrey. Springfield labor leader Brad Shivey is also scheduled to be on the panel. Ivanka was with her father, President Donald Trump, just a few weeks ago in Granite City. Following a deadly weekend where a dozen were killed and at least 66 shot across the city, Chicago Democrats pleading with all sides to drop the politics and address the violence. Last year, Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel told The Late Show with Stephen Colbert that he doesn't want President Donald Trump in Chicago.
I think what he's doing is wrong for the direction of the city. It's not how I wanted the election to turn out. And so we've declared Chicago is going to be a Trump-free zone.
Chicago State Representative LaShawn Ford said in an effort to address the alarming violence, Emanuel should change his tune to work with Trump to bring more resources back to Chicago. He said not to worry about Trump's, quote, shenanigans.
What I'm worried about are the people in our state that's dying. And he's taken an oath of office to protect his country. And taxpayers must get their tax dollars working for them.
Ford said there needs to be job development, mental health treatment, and efforts to control the flow of illegal guns and drugs. A central Illinois man is mounting an effort to ensure wolves don't get caught up in urban coyote hunts. Jay Smith lives near Macomb and organized a rally in Springfield to draw attention to a problem he says is being overlooked. He said Illinois has wolves, some are protected species, and they're being killed by people going after coyotes. He said the Illinois Department of Natural Resources knows about it.
And there's a huge contingency of Illinois citizens that don't like seeing this happen. We're not a barbaric state here.
IDNR's Doug Dufford said Illinois has had 11 confirmed wolf sightings since 2002. He said they're investigating Smith's claims.
At this point in time, there isn't any evidence to suggest that there are a significant number of wolves in the state and that coyote hunters are killing any.
Dufford said DNA samples are being reviewed in collaboration with the Field Museum in Chicago, but there's no indication that there are protected red wolves in Illinois. And Illinois legislation designed to ensure rideshare drivers undergo adequate background checks is now law. A statement from Illinois Senate Democrats says it took effect Tuesday. It requires that those applying to be rideshare drivers provide their full name and Social Security number, as well as their date of birth. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
All right, good morning, good morning, good morning. We're here. Let's get this show started.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Miss Melanie.
Are you ready for a brand new day?
Yes!
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
How are you?
It's so nice to have you here with me today. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm just fine. Howdy, how do you do? Hello, good day.
Good day, sir.
Now that we're together, learning so much fun. The more of us, the better. So come on, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Just fine.
Howdy, how do you do? Hello, good day.
Good day, sir.
good morning.
A Wednesday morning, August 8th, 2018. Wednesday morning. And the Ray Lytle Morning Show is here.
By the way, no council roundup today.
It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
See, I'm on top of it. I know.
Yeah.
Jim Leach called me yesterday.
Oh, there you go. And I'm going to be out of here, like, just after 7 as well.
Today you're out?
I'm heading down to go see Ivanka Trump.
Oh, that's today.
That's today, down in Godfrey.
My old alma mater.
Lewis and Clark.
Yeah.
You're to college. Apparently, they have a huge new welding facility down there.
Yeah.
That was just built in, like, 2016, so be nice to see that.
That'd be the part of the college I'd never go to. They had that crap when I was there, too.
Yeah, I asked. They had a briefing call yesterday, an on-record briefing call with one of the White House communication people. And, you know, it was just a brief call saying, hey, this is what we're going to be doing. This is what we're going to be talking about. Any questions? And, you know, a few questions out there. One thing we've talked about in the past is, are blue-collar jobs on the way out because of automation?
I don't think so.
There's a train of thought out there that says we shouldn't be giving, you know, any weight to blue-collar jobs because they're on the way out. And you see these efforts, and we've talked about this in the past as well, as universal basic income and how we can bring that about if we're going to have just full automation of things. The White House said they don't see that trend at all. They see the reverse of that. They see blue-collar jobs resurging to a new level, and that's why this workforce development.
It's going to depend on how the United States government handles United States business, because most companies and corporations would rather just outsource it to another country and have stuff brought in.
I don't think that's the case.
Well, that's what they've been doing.
Because it was cheaper to do that.
That's what I mean. Yes, that's right. What they've been doing.
But the president's policies he's putting into place, according to the White House, are meant to bring that money and investment back to the U.S.
Yeah, the whole thing is, do you, how much government control should be able to regulate, blah, blah, blah. But what he's doing is he's saying, tough, if you're an American company, put your manufacturing here. We don't want you to put it overseas. So that's where the complaints come, because business owners are like, no, we should be able to cheaply make our products anywhere we want to make them. Because here's the thing. We're going to buy them. United States consumers will buy their products, and they know that. So their only discussion is, where do we make them? So they want to make them where it's cheapest for them. And right now it's cheaper for them to make them overseas. And then ship them in.
But with the deregulation that's happening in the U.S., with the tax cuts, for instance, for corporations, a massive tax cut for the corporations.
I mean, listen, we could see
that's all meant to spur on domestic production.
Trump's plan is to force American companies to bring their manufacturing back here. The only concern is, how do you do that without having the companies raise the price so much to where we can't buy them? And it seems like he's finding ways to do it right now without, and one of the things is call the company out. If the company still wants to ship jobs overseas, call them out.
I think he did that with Harley Davidson.
Yeah. Here's so and so. They're scumbags.
I don't think he'd call them scumbags.
Well, whatever. They don't want to. They're so cheap. They don't want to pay their workers.
He may have called them Little Harley.
I'm saying that's sort of been the plan for doing it. And I think most people are okay with that. I mean, I think most people are okay with it. They wish he'd do that without slamming everybody who disagrees with him on other things on Twitter. They wish he'd do that without embarrassing certain aspects. But my God, I think most people get on board with what he's done with manufacturing. Look at those steel jobs that came back. And I don't care how you sell it. There's no way you can't say that his tariffs didn't bring those jobs back.
U.S. Steel's president said that much.
And that's what's frustrating, I think, with some people, because some of the stuff he's doing is really good. In fact,
Stock market massive rally yesterday.
The next president, who's if they're a Democrat, they might want to follow his lead with this stuff because it seems to be working.
That's not going to happen, though. Any political analyst will tell you that with as divided as things are now, I highly doubt you're going to see Democrats get on board saying tax cuts, deregulation, even though those policies seem to be helping spur on
economic
growth.
I don't know what the tax cuts, but I'll tell you what. I do think that deregulation, I do think that some of the some of the pressure that he's put on some of those products. Now, I don't know what all these Chinese products are going to do, but some of these products have forced some manufacturing to reopen.
Right.
And who knows? Some of it might force even more businesses overseas, but either way, it's a good start. And I understand what they're talking about today is you know, putting more people to work in manufacturing.
Yeah. Well, and not just putting them to work, but getting them trained. And also the president has this pledge that he's been talking about getting businesses to sign on to, that they will pledge to help foster people in their businesses from graduation to retirement and have continued training and advancement.
And they want to be able to hire union workers like the Trump Corporation didn't for years. I mean, they want to, you know, be able to hire public workers, which, let's face it, union workers, excuse me. They want to be able to hire union workers, and let's face it, union workers make more money in building things than what, you know, private company or non-union workers make. So that's a good, because the whole thing is, listen, the United States of America, we create jobs. No matter what anybody says, we create jobs in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't create any salaries.
Well,
we create hourly wage jobs like crazy people.
But wages are going up.
That's what I mean. So now we're finally starting to create salaries. And I'm saying one of the ways
wages are starting to increase.
One of the ways to do it is to hire union workers and hire people who make higher amounts of money per hour.
But you need the work there in order to hire the union workers.
So yeah, and we discussed
You can't just go out and hire union workers if there's nothing to build.
No,
you can't just go out and hire union workers if there's nothing to manufacture.
It's all got to come together, because if you're not paying the people who do the work any money, then they can't afford to buy anything. Like there was a whole Walmart. You guys might remember this from the 80s. There was the Walmart philosophy of you send money to China and they can make your products cheap and then you sell it here for blah, blah, blah. And then finally somebody in the early 2000s, an economics professor, said, well, here's the question. If you're not paying your workers enough to shop, who's going to buy your products?
Right.
And that's when they started rethinking this. And I will say, I'll give Trump credit. We got a president in who looked at that and said, okay, that makes sense. We've got to bring back. There are some people that just aren't skilled. There are some people that don't have the skills to work on Wall Street. There are some people that don't have the skills to work in the corporate headquarters.
And not everybody's going to college.
Not everyone.
For an advanced academic degree.
By the way, I went to college. Nobody's hiring me on Wall Street. Nobody's hiring me to work at a corporate headquarters. So I'm saying that they were they're the first ones that came in there that said, all right, let's at least look at this. Now, it would have been nice if they would have done it. I think he would have been the most popular president ever if he'd have done it without being an a-hole or a jerk on Twitter. I mean, I really think that the guy would be
you think he should be banned from Twitter?
I think his wife should have banned him.
No, come on.
I think his wife should have banned him a year ago, or somebody should have, you know what I mean?
Let's not turn him into an Orwellian unperson.
No, I'm just saying that one of his friends should have told him. You know what I mean? I don't think the government.
Listen, Don John Jr., you got
to. Congress doesn't need to tell him. I think someone, a little angel on his shoulder, somebody could have told him a year ago, 2 years ago.
That's his style. That's who he is.
Just get off it.
That's who he is.
Let your successes speak.
But one thing the Trump administration has articulated is that his trade policies are in effect to bring back balance, and saying that, you know, in the generation past, after World War II, there was a lot of rebuilding going on, and America kind of was a little bit more lax to allow for Europe to rebuild, and then China came onto the scene in the 70s and the 80s, and they gave them a lot of leeway to be able to build their economy as well, and they joined the World Trade Organization.
Next up is Africa.
Next up's Africa, but the Trump administration is essentially saying that those decades of the U.S. being generous with its trade policies with other countries, that has to come to an end, and we need to bring back balance. That's essentially what my takeaway is from, you know, hearing the president talk about his trade policies, looking at the ultimate goals. Does he like tariffs? He says he likes tariffs, but is that just a sign that he's putting out there to, you know, foreign powers to say, hey, he likes tariffs, watch out. When in reality, he's just trying to get back to free fair trade.
I think he's a free trade. I think he's a free trader.
He's a free trader, man. Absolutely.
There's no doubt about
it. Yeah, he doesn't like tariffs.
And I think, and I honestly, and I do feel this, and it came up earlier, and I'll say it again. I think if he would have just shut his mouth and been classy on Twitter and classy in interviews and just classy.
That's not his style. That's not why he got elected.
But if he would have changed his styles, I think all Americans could have liked him. I really do.
Yeah, he could have done it in a way.
It's too late now.
He could have done it in a way where he could have still been bombastic on certain things, but then just remained quiet on all
of those. I think you can just be classy. I don't think you need to be bombastic. But here's the deal. Like, he gave the tax cut. I got nothing from the tax cut. Maybe next year I'll see something.
I saw it instantly. Yeah, up in January.
I saw nothing. In fact, I'm worse off now than when he took office. But who knows? Next year, maybe I won't be. Maybe this company will get enough of a break to be able to give me a raise. Maybe, my outside other things I do, somebody will get me some money. I'm just saying, I saw nothing from it the first year. Maybe the second year, third year, trickle down my way. And I do feel that if the guy, that had he been more classy about it, I think he could have been the most popular president of all time. I do honestly feel that, Greg. Good morning, you're on WMAY.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
You know, every president has some weird things that they do, but you got to ignore the goofy stuff and concentrate on the important stuff.
Well, what is the important stuff?
Well, the important stuff are the things that he's doing for employment and bringing back industry and things like that.
So you say the important stuff is the economy.
Who cares about his tweets and things? I mean, Lyndon Johnson liked to talk to people in his bathroom while he was on the toilet.
Well, I don't think that's classy at all. I mean, that's
horrible. No, but what I'm saying is, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I'm telling you that I can't dictate what other people are bothered by.
But we focus on all these little goofy things.
I'm saying, but who are you to tell people what to focus on and what not to focus on?
Well,
Greg and I are focusing on. It is an opinion. What makes your opinion more important than anybody else's?
I don't know that it is. It's just my opinion.
All right. Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. I mean, in all seriousness, Greg and I are talking about the president is trying to do.
Yeah.
There are people out there that feels the president has one job, and that is to bring down the country. That's what they think. It's just, who are they to tell us that that's how we should think, and who are we to say that this is what we think? I mean, you know, it is America, and some people are bothered by the Russia stuff, and some people are bothered by, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just saying that if this president would have played cards a different way, he could have been the most popular president we'd ever seen. If you don't lock up children, did you see this thing now? They want to make it harder for legal immigrants to become citizens. I mean, it just looks unnecessarily cruel. Why would you put yourself through that when you're having this presidency that people could be thinking positive of? Why would you put yourself through the nonsense? Greg, give me a prognostication here. What kind of trouble are they going to get in if they go with the Stephen Miller plan of making it harder for legal immigrants to become citizens? It's going to make the people that are really anti-immigrant very happy. It's going to make everybody else angry and take more focus away from Ivanka Trump in a meeting. By the way, Brad Shivey's in the meeting with her.
Yeah.
Brad Shivey's...
local labor leader.
Yes, and very outspoken with how his views are. He's going to be in a meeting with Ivanka Trump. Right. It's going to take away from that narrative to a new one.
As far as the immigration policies, I mean, I don't know all the details of the policies the administration's unfolding. I have seen reports where they're lowering the number of refugees they're allowing in every year. I can't remember the exact figure, but it's like 25,000 or something
like that. They're changing the policy now. Stephen Miller is the one in charge of it.
And the Washington Post ran an article where the whole thing is to make it harder for legal immigrants to obtain their citizenship.
Well, and one thing...
It just seems unnecessary. Why? Why don't do that now? Can't you wait for that?
But I think the White House's contention has been that essentially they want to control immigration to ensure that Americans are getting jobs and fulfilling those jobs.
These people,
not to say that immigrants and legal immigrants are
Not
qualified. They are extremely qualified.
Legal immigrants
have
green cards and jobs and everything.
Absolutely.
They just want to make it harder for them to become citizens. Now, I mean, it just seems unnecessary. You can't get any more anti-immigrant than this administration has been. Why mess with that? Why do that now? It makes no sense.
I don't know
sense.
If that's a fair statement. I think he's the administration doesn't like illegal immigration.
But what they're doing now is legal immigrants. They're trying to make it harder for them to become citizens. That's what's going on. And it just seems unnecessary. Hello, you're on the Ray Lytle Morning Show.
Oh, hi. How you doing, guys?
What's
We're
up,
fine.
What bothers me, though, is, I mean, like I said, I like some of the things he does. I don't like some of the things he doesn't do, of course. But what bothers me is, how are you going to pay for all this in another year or two? Because you know as well as I do, the GDP is not going to continue to grow at 4.1%.
Well, I don't know. The White House is predicting it could be. Like, last night, I was reading some of the poll reports out of Washington, and last night the president said that he thinks it could go into the fives.
Listen,
let me tell you what.
People slept when Obama took over. The country was going to hell, and somehow they had I forgot how many quarters of over 4% GDP. This administration can see a really considerable amount of years of growth if they play it right.
But not 4%. The only reason you got 4.1 this last quarter is because a half of that was from trade that was sent out before the tariffs hit.
Well, but there's also significant investment in manufacturing infrastructure going on in this country, and economists say that will lead to further sustained economic growth.
Yeah, we'll see.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, two high-stakes elections that tested President Donald Trump's clout and cost both parties millions of dollars were too close to call late Tuesday. Trump took credit for the Republican candidate's performance in battleground Ohio, calling it, quote, a great victory, even though the contests could be headed to a mandatory recount. And a day after he weighed in on Kansas's gubernatorial primary, that race remained deadlocked as well. Meanwhile, Paul Manafort's former business partner Rick Gates will be on the witness stand again today in the fraud trial of the former Trump campaign chief. ABC's Stephanie Ramos reports from Washington.
Rick Gates will take the stand for a third day in a row to testify against former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. In court, Gates admitted to hiding millions of dollars in more than a dozen offshore accounts for Manafort, detailing how his former mentor and boss allegedly instructed him to not report foreign bank accounts to avoid paying taxes on them. Gates has already pled guilty to conspiracy and lying to federal authorities. Gates could face more than 50 years in prison. Stephanie Ramos, ABC News, Washington.
While you may hear that blue-collar jobs are on the way out thanks to automation, the White House says that's not the trend they see. That's expected to be highlighted today in the Metro East. President Donald Trump's daughter, Ivanka Trump, and advisor to the president, will join a roundtable discussion about increasing education for construction, welding, and manufacturing work. Protesters from Indivisible, Illinois, are also expected to be there. Federal lawmakers are again pushing to remove the tax exemption used by many professional sports teams. WMAY's Cole Lauterbach has the story.
Iowa Senator Joni Ernst's bill would bar any pro league that makes over $10 million in 1 year from being tax exempt. She estimates that it would save $100 million over 10 years. The NFL gave up its exempt status in 2015, while Major League Baseball dropped it in 2007. Many organizations like the PGA Tour and the National Hockey League are still nonprofits. Alec Fornwalt with the Tax Foundation says the teams paying taxes may not balance the budget, but the principle of tax cuts for favored businesses is wrong.
$100 million over 10 years in the grand scheme of things is not a lot of money, but the precedent is that we need to start getting rid of things like this, otherwise the debt's never going to go down.
He says many of the organizations that had the exemption didn't save much money, but others did.
The PGA now saves millions of dollars in taxes. And so it really has to do with how these organizations have moved themselves around this status.
I'm Cole Lauterbach.
Chicago police say hundreds of extra officers are being deployed to city neighborhoods where a burst of gun violence over the weekend left a dozen people dead and around 70 wounded. Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said at a Tuesday news conference that 400 additional officers are already patrolling areas of the West and South sides where most of the shootings occurred. Victims of this weekend's shootings ranged from age 11 to 63. The longest-serving inmate at the Sangamon County Jail will finally get out, only to go to prison for most likely the rest of his life. 40-year-old Johnny Ray Priester was sentenced to 85 years in prison for the murder of 20-year-old Quentin Hardin back in May of 2012. Trial and sentencing delays kept Priester in the Sangamon County Jail for over 5 years. And cable news channel CNBC's most recent Best States for Business annual rankings have Illinois still below the middle of the pack. The Prairie State was ranked 28th out of 50. All neighboring states were ranked higher than Illinois, who the channel said suffered too much from red tape and government instability. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.